Predators really understood that quickly, and they understood that dynamic well. The evacuations created conditions where exploitation was escalating quickly, but also very quietly. None of this stuff has been published. So during the wildfire evacuations, we observed multiple forms of predatory behavior. One of the most common was situational exploitation tied to basic needs. So women and gender diverse people were offered rides, hotel rooms, food, substances, or help navigating the city in exchange for sexual access, labor, or ongoing companionship. So because formal evacuation systems were too overwhelmed or inaccessible, these offers were often framed as help, but attached to expectations that were really coercive, manipulative, and unsafe. And other things we saw was targeting of women who were isolated or who had disengaged from evacuation shelters. So a lot of women were leaving shelters because of fear of policing, the whole thing that we spoke to with child welfare, surveillance, sobriety requirements, overcrowding. But once outside those systems, they became far more visible to individuals actively watching for vulnerability. And we experienced that on the daily. So in those spaces, coercion always didn't look overt. It would look like persistence, pressure, or the gradual erosion of boundaries under stress. And another serious concern was exploitation connected to substance use. So, in the context of the evacuation, the drug supply became even more predictable for the folks from up north. And many people were using in isolation, hiding their use during shelter restrictions. And we saw situations where substances were used as leverage. And what they were used as leverage for was to maintain control, attract sex or labor, and to keep people dependent on a person who appeared to be providing, again, protection or access.